Welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. My name is Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I help private practice owners align their business back with their soul's calling, with their big vision, and with their soul's purpose. Unlike other private practice coaches, I've traveled the world in search of spiritual resources, spiritual tools, education, and information so that you can have the transformation that your soul desires and needs, so that you can up-level your business. How much fun is this? I love it so much. Guys, if you're not already a member of the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group, please check out the show notes. I would love for you to be there. In the meantime, thank you so much for pushing play today. Let's begin. Good morning, happy Saturday, and welcome to another episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast. My name is Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for listening to another episode. I'm super pleased that you're here, and of course, welcome to the new subscribers. Okay, so today I thought it would be very practical to teach you another skill that you can use to help attract clients to your coaching, consulting, counseling, therapy, psychology, social work, whatever it is, private practice that you're running, because I know this is a hot topic at the moment. People are saying, how am I going to get clients? How am I going to attract clients? Where am I going to get them from? We've got, you know, people just doing all sorts of crazy things. Well, crazy to me, because they just don't make sense. And so I thought I could perhaps give you a little bit of a framework and some structure around how you can attract some clients, but also, of course, do it in a way that feels really good and really connects in with your soul. It makes you feel like you're building relationships with people, because it's so important. If people aren't feeling like they can relate to you, then they're just not going to enroll with you or book with you or inquire with you and things like that. So let me just run you through a few hacks, or, you know, things that you can do to try and increase your inquiries, and from there perhaps even increase your conversions. So I think the first thing that I've noticed when I've been doing some website reviews for people over the last week is that, you know, I think while we might be really, really good at the direct therapy, we're probably not so great at writing copy for our website. And by that, I mean things like, I would go and click on somebody's about page and they've just listed out their qualifications and said something like they're caring, compassionate, friendly, warm. I mean, it's just like fluff. Who cares? I think what, you know, that's not landing for your clients, especially if you've got the website set up and you're not getting anything, you know, you're hearing crickets. Did you know that the about page is often the first page that potential clients click on? And the reason for that is because they want to know who they're dealing with. They want to know who you are. They want to know about you. So they'll land on your homepage, perhaps, and then they're going to go straight to the about. So if you've got not much information in there, then you're missing out. You're leaving a client unhelped, and from a business perspective, money on the table. So how do we fix it? Simple. You're going to write an origin story. Now, don't panic. Don't freak out. The thing about an origin story is it aligns with your client, because people like to hear stories. They're interested in you, just like you're interested in them. They want to get to know who is going to be helping them. One of the fears that comes up with women in private practice when we talk about creating an origin story is, I don't want to share too much. I don't want clients knowing all my personal things. Is it ethical? Is it professional? Will I get into trouble? How will it be perceived by colleagues? Those sorts of questions. And here's what I want to let you know. You get to choose what you include in your origin story, okay? That's totally up to you. And you do not have to overshare information. In fact, if it's not going to be of any help or use to a client to see it, don't include it. Very generally, I would suggest a good origin story would include something safe that you could write about, such as, what was it that made you want to do this job? Like, what was going on for you at the time? Did you have an experience yourself where a counselor was just really fantastic and you knew in that moment this was what you had to do? And so, yeah, you made it your career. You went and you pursued an education and you got qualified and you, you know, hung your sign up on the door and, you know, now you're accepting referrals. Like, what's your story? It doesn't have to be too explicit, but a story will help people connect with you because they're going to be able to say, she gets me. She's been where I am and she overcame it, or she understands what I might be going through. So that's the first sort of hack, if you like, and I've given you the simple structure there. So you've got the structure for the masculine, and you now with that structure can feel safe to get into your feminine flow and just write it, okay? Simple, yeah? And if you get stuck or you're unsure or some of those little fears are popping up, I'm happy to have a look at it for you. All you have to do is write it and then shoot it across to me in email and I can give you some feedback. That would be my pleasure to do that, not a problem. That's the first thing. The second thing that comes up when we're trying to look at, you know, getting inquiries and bookings and things like that from the website is some basic technical stuff. Like, guys, make sure your booking button actually connects to a diary. I think I've seen about 4 websites just this week that had booking buttons that went nowhere. So again, you're missing out on an opportunity to help somebody being your feminine, because the structure isn't there. So just check if you did it yourself, kudos to you. Just jump into your diary, grab the, link, go and pop that in your website. Or better still, why not just embed the diary into your website? You can just grab an embed code. All you ever have to do, you don't need any coding experience. All you have to do is just jump into your diary. You'll just copy and paste the embed code and then copy and paste it into the header section of your website if you're doing it yourself. If not, ask somebody to do it for you, like your website person, if you have one of those. Okay, so that's the other thing, making sure that your buttons work. The next little hack to improving your conversions and bookings and inquiries on your website is to, of course, make sure you've got a current blog. If your blog has dust on it and you haven't written in it for a few months, that's cool. That's cool. So I'm getting hiccups. That's cool. But just delete it or hide it or unpublish it, because the reality is if as your friend, as your mentor, as your coach, as your supervisor, if I come and have a look at your website and I see a blog that's from Christmas and we're now in April, I'm going to think, is she out of business? Like, what's going on here? Now, if that's what I'm going to think, what's a client going to think? Yeah, you've got to have your finger on the pulse. Here's another thing to think about when it comes to blogging. This is another common mistake that people make because they don't know how to write copy. They get on a website and they write about what they think their clients want to hear, or they write about something that they believe should be on a blog. So it's going to be like 5 tips to managing anxiety or something boring like that, that the client can Google and get elsewhere. You know what I'm going to say, right? What I'm going to suggest is, if you want to have a blog, you have to understand the masculine and the feminine aspects of that. The masculine side of having a blog is the whole purpose is to improve your SEO, your search engine optimization. And the reason that you want to improve your search engine optimization is so that your page ranks on the first page of Google when people in your area are looking for a therapist. All right. So if you just get on there and you write a blog about dream interpretation and it doesn't have keywords, you're wasting your time. Like, it's not going to, like, just don't bother. Just no. There's an art and a science to writing a blog that probably nobody's ever taught you. But seriously, if you have a website like, I use GoDaddy, as you know, and on GoDaddy, I'm blessed because they have a section there where you can check your own website. You can check every single page of your website to make sure that's optimized, okay? And then you can go back and you can refresh it all the time. But to give you an example, you want to use keywords that are being typed into Google by your potential clients, right? Now, they might not have anything to do with dream interpretation, but they're going to be things like your location, perhaps your name, whatever thing they're trying to deal with. The word online is really popular at the moment. Online therapy is another really popular key term. So if your blog isn't including those keywords, you're wasting your time and you're wasting your energy and just don't bother. The only value that you're getting out of that is for some people who might be staying on your website. And we know from the data that the most time people will spend on your website is maximum about 60 seconds. So they're not even really reading your blog. You have to understand the function, as I said, of a blog is to get your page noticed on Google, and you do that by including keywords. So if you want to write a blog on dream interpretation, go for it, but use keywords, okay? How are you going to find them? Easy. You're going to use a search engine optimization tool that comes with WordPress if you're using that, GoDaddy if you're using that. I think Wix has one. So you need to use it. How often? Every week. Every single week. Why? Because Google keeps an eye on your website, and the longer it's dormant, the further down the list it goes. So you want to be in there at least once a week doing something. Even if you just delete a heading and put it back again, that tells Google there was some action, there was some activity happening on there. All right. So forget about, writing long blogs all about what you think clients want or what you think your colleagues are writing about, and therefore you better too, and get clear on setting your intention. Why do I want to have this blog post, right? What is my intention with this blog post? Is it to build? Here's another mistake women make in private practice. They don't put a subscribe button on their blog. And so they're missing out on getting all those emails. And why are emails important? Well, I'll tell you why, but this is something that's normally reserved for my high ticket coaching clients and for women in the private practice with soul class, which doesn't open until June. But just ensure, I'll give you a bit now. You have to have an email list, because it's by cultivating and nurturing and looking after people on that list that you're going to be able to increase your inquiries, increase your conversions, increase your sales. And this is how you build your practice out, okay? It's the whole reason. There are people that say, I just want to have an email list to share the love. Well, you can go and share the love. That's totally fine. But if you're running a business, the reality is that you need to be generating income. And the reality is that, at the moment, like for example, I love Facebook ads right now, okay? But my ad account got closed down this week. I've been restricted from advertising. I've got the big red stop sign that says, no, Brooklyn, you're restricted. You're banned from advertising because you breached our rules and all of our community standards, I think they called it. When I clicked through to that, all I wanted was a copy of my ID. So they do this periodically. I think I had to do it this time last year as well. Every now and again, they ask you for a copy of photo ID, and then it takes them a few days to, confirm your identity and know that you are who you are, and then they unblock your account. But the thing is that if you can't use Facebook, like if Facebook just shut down tomorrow, and that's where you get your clients from like I do, and you don't have an email list, how on earth are you going to keep in touch with everybody? Like you've just lost your whole audience. And this is why if you're running a group, it's really important that you get everybody's email address as well. Okay. And there's a super easy way that you can do that. I use a Chrome extension called Group Leads. And that grabs people's email addresses. And, by doing that, I protect them, because it doesn't cut them off from getting my support that they've been enjoying and loving and all of that sort of stuff. And it also helps my business feel safe, okay? Now, the other thing to remember with copywriting is you really want to be writing from a space of your voice, you know, your voice, not somebody else's voice. So you don't want to look to somebody else and think, oh, she's doing it so well and she's got loads of clients, so I'm going to emulate her. No, that's not how it works. The reason it's working so well for her over there is because she's in her flow. She's in her vibe. She's that's her radiance. And you can't mimic that. You can't copy that because you have your own radiance. Okay. So the way to embody your own radiance so that it can come out through the copy that you're writing, the content that you're writing and sharing on your website or on your social or whatever, is to simply do the things that we've spoken about in previous episodes, which is, you know, I like to put my hand on my heart and connect in with my soul that way. And I'll just ask for guidance that way. And you can use other tools to support you with that as well. Maybe you have a touchstone that you like to use. Maybe you support your, you know, embodiment of that feminine connection through things like essential oils. And you use feminine oils like Rose Otto when you're wanting to embody the masculine, because you need to be planning, organizing, doing structure. Maybe you're using a masculine energy type oil like frankincense or bergamot or something like that. Okay. Maybe even a citrusy smell. So it's really about finding ways that connect with your clients that align with your story, your values, your vision, nobody else's. That's what's going to keep them coming to you. Okay. Now, there are so many ways that you can do this. And again, I've spoken about them in other podcasts, so I'm not going to belabor the point. But I would just make sure that you stick to it. Okay, know what your four or five values are for your practice and only write to those so that people get to know you as having authenticity, integrity, all those kinds of things. And that's going to be the copy that makes you memorable, that makes people want to subscribe, that makes people want to follow you, that makes people want to come back to you. Okay. Now, the other thing that I would love for you to know, and I've said it a million times, is stop sharing other people's stuff, because when you share somebody else's stuff, you're sending traffic to their website instead of your own, which means you're missing out on helping people. And the whole reason you're in this job is to help them, right? If you're stuck, just don't post anything that day. That's fine. Okay, that's totally fine. Something that you can do if you really do get stuck is just think about those four or five values that you've got and think, what does it mean to me? How does it help somebody? What might it mean to somebody else? What's a myth about this? What's a challenge with embodying this value? What are, you know, a couple of ways people can take steps to begin to see what this value can open up and make possible for them? Do you know what I mean? There's five or six ideas on content around one value that you have. Multiply that by your four or five values and you've got 30 or so content ideas that I've just given you right there. But they're aligned with you, which means they're going to be easy for you to write about. And there's no pressure for you to write long posts or anything like that. You can absolutely write a short post. That's totally fine. Nobody, there's no, you know, post police out there that are saying you shouldn't publish it unless it's five paragraphs. It's fine. Do you know what? That's totally okay. You don't have to be doing lives all the time either. The value of doing lives is, you know, Facebook like it and so they distribute it to more people. But if you're not somebody who wants to do a live video, that's okay for now. Just don't. While you're working on your messaging, while you're working on improving the way that you write your copy, I wouldn't be getting on a live video because you're probably just going to make yourself anxious and stressed anyway. And that's the energy that you're going to give off. So just don't do it for now. Wait until you feel like you're speaking from the heart, because when you're speaking from your heart, you can make a couple of dot points for yourself about the flow that you want the video to have. So you've got your masculine structure right there, and then your feminine is just going to turn up and speak to that in a way that really resonates and is powerful and connects and builds that relationship with your audience. Does it make sense? So I think if you have a website and it's not converting yet, I would encourage you to begin by updating the About Me section with an origin story. That's your homework. That's your action step today. Write your origin story. And when you've done that, you know, contact me some way. Send me the link on Messenger or tag me on Facebook or send me an email with the link so I can go and have a look at it for you, because I'd love to support you with it. It's so much fun when you actually write one and you start to see on Google Analytics, you can start to see, you know, that more people are looking at it and people are staying for a little bit longer on your page. It's just a really, 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 really beautiful experience because you know then that what you're writing is resonating. Okay, so as I said, I can go into marketing in a little bit more detail with you in another episode. If that's something that you would like, let me know. But when it comes to things like inquiries and conversions and bookings and stuff like that, as I said, it's really something that we're going to in a lot more detail in coaching and in the class. But as I said, the class doesn't open for a while yet. That's only open in January and June. So yeah, but if you need help, of course, connect with me and I can give you some feedback on your origin story in the meantime. Alrighty. I hope this was a really helpful podcast. I can't wait to see the upgrades that you make to your websites. Thank you so much for listening. Have a beautiful day and I'll talk to you later. Bye guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast today. If you're looking for clarity, if you need help with branding, your processes, and bringing everything into alignment with your soul's purpose for your private practice, head to the show notes and click the link for more information about the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group. You are going to love it. I can't wait to see you in there. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.